Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing Psalter 166, stanzas 1 through 4. Praise waits in Zion, Lord, for thee, and unto thee shall vows be paid. O thou that hearest those who cry, to thee by all shall prayer be made. 1 through 4 of Psalter 166. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel according to John, the 17th chapter. John, chapter 17, but first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 17. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth, through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them and I in them. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God of the heavens and of the earth, we try to draw nigh to thee And we have read out of thy holy word that which thou hast been pleased to reveal to us and unto our children, that is the supplication of thine only begotten Son, and the intercession for his church, who did pray not for the world, but for them whom thou hadst given him. They were thine, thou gavest them unto him, and therefore they are in him, as he is in thee, Lord. O give that people something of that comfort to be felt and to be experienced in this thy holy day. For thou didst pray not only for those that were alive in that time, but also for those that would believe on thee through their word. And then also, even to this day, there may be those that are brought to that true saving knowledge of that blessed Son of God. And thou knowest that there are in their hearts also so often so many riddles and perplexities that they do not know the way, oh, that thou may remember them, because the devil that is going about to deceive, if it were possible, even the very elect. And then he is never quiet, except thou wilt put him away, except thou wilt keep him from thy people. And therefore, that blessed comfort that is so necessary unto thy own church, also in the days in which we are living. Oh, may they see something, and may they feel something of that blessed interceding work of thee on their behalf. Those who cannot pray, those who are unworthy to come before thy throne, those who cannot order their conversation right before thee, and do not know what to pray for as they ought, and then thou didst bring before thy throne, thou didst bring that blood which thou hast shed upon that cursed tree for thy own church. And Lord, it is sufficient in the sight of thy Father. Oh, then he has received it on behalf of that sinful people. Lord, give them in this day to see a little bit. Oh, send forth thy Spirit for the comfort of thy Zion, for those that are distressed, for those who are in the felt need. And Lord, when we have no felt need, wilt thou bring such a need in our heart? Oh, when we will lie forever and forever outside of that interceding work of thy dear Son, then how awful shall our life and shall our end be? Oh, give us a hastening. Give us a holy jealousy in our heart in this morning hour, that we also may be included, that we may also be brought to need thee, and that we may also be given the application of thy word by thy Spirit, that we may not remain dead in sins and in trespasses our whole life long. Lord, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and without thee we can do nothing. Oh, wilt thou give in our midst then this day thy Spirit in a rich measure,
for the upbuilding of thy church, for the breaking down of the kingdom of darkness, for the instruction in the further steps of grace of thy own dear children, for an increase in the knowledge of self and in the knowledge of thee, O blessed mediator and redeemer of thy people. Wilt thou look upon us in all the needs and the cares of this life? Be with all those that have special needs, those that are afflicted and sick in the days in which we are. May thou give a health and strength. And when they cannot be here with us in thy house this day, and may listen by church telephone, or that may read thy word and that which is based thereon, Lord, give a blessing in their places, a Sabbath day's blessing. We have read it out of thy law. Thou didst rest upon that Sabbath day. Oh, may thou give such a rest in this day, in the heart of thy own church. Be with all those that are widows, widowers, and orphans, all that are handicapped, blind, lame, deaf, and dumb, and that have needs of the body. And thou who art the creator of our bodies, and thou who art the physician of the sick, may thou give strength and health, but may thou also use these ways, because we are such hard-hearted creatures. And what can bring us, Lord, in the dust before thee? Oh, may thou use then these ways in our lives, each home with its own cross and each heart. May it be sanctified and may it be blessed upon our short journey here below to that never-ending eternity, that men may be converted unto thee, and that we may be awakened out of our death sleep, and that we may become as the ants, that as thou didst send us to the ant, O sluggard, or that we may gather our food in the harvest, and that we may not wait until it is winter, and that we may not wait until it is too late. Lord, give us a hastening for the sake of our life. Be with those that may commemorate an anniversary in this day. Lord, may thou humble their hearts before thee, and may thou give them that desire and that longing for that other marriage, that they may be united unto thee in that blessed marriage of that bride, unto that blessed bridegroom. Oh, instruct us all together in the ways of difficulty, in the ways of trial, also in the ways of commemoration and in the ways of joy. And wilt thou give that all our circumstances in this life may be used for the welfare of our souls. Be with our children, parents in the bringing up of children. Instruct us that we may instruct them. And give us grace in our hearts in a living way, that it may be evident that these children and youth have parents that fear God, and that they may have truly an example set before them. May thou forgive all of our many shortcomings and sins, and give us a true faithfulness in thy sight. And wilt thou look on children and youth in school and in universities, and in all the places where they may receive instruction in this world for the things of this life that are necessary. Oh, keep them, Lord, because the devil seeks their heart to destroy it in the end. But may thou watch over them for good. May thou give them the knowledge of thee in their youth, that may keep them as a fence and a wall all about them, and give them the love for thee, for thy kingdom, and for thy service, and that may turn them away from all the vanity that is in this world. Give us to live as those who are strangers and as pilgrims here below. Be with all that are in the prisons and all those that have special needs. Be with those thy servants that will go forth this day, that have truly been converted and called and sent forth, thrust out by thee into the vineyard to bring thy holy word. Lord, when thou hast given it, then it is not men who runs, but Lord, then it is thee who sends forth. Therefore we beseech thee in this day, in this morning hour, that thou would help us again, that thou may go forth with thy word. Oh, we cannot, if thou wilt shut it, we cannot open it. And if thou wilt open it, then we cannot shut it. Oh, may thou prove thyself to be among us when thou wilt go this day, this morning, from pew to pew. And wilt thou give true conversions? Oh, give a smiting upon the breast. Give a holy jealousy. Give desire. Give hunger and give thirst. And wilt thou forgive and take away and keep us from all iniquity. Keep us from self. Keep us from all that is in this world, from pride, from sin. Put away all the buyers and the sellers in these moments, and give that thy word may have the preeminence by thy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 232, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. O Lord, to us thy mercy show, and thy salvation now bestow. We wait to hear what God will say. Peace to his people he will speak, and to his saints. But let them seek no more in folly's path to stray. We announce that Mr. Dan Niels, who is a member of the Reformed Church of North America, hopes to join our congregation, the Lord willing, by confession of faith before the consistory. Lawful objections must be brought to the consistory before January 30th. Psalter 232, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Thank you.
Congregation, the devil is the liar from the beginning. What was it that he has promised unto our fathers in paradise? That was that when they would become independent, when they would come for their own account, then they would be happy. And it has shown in reality to be exactly the opposite. And our fathers have given instruction in the Heidelberg Catechism concerning what they call the only comfort in life and in death. And what is that comfort? That is that I am not mine own, but that I belong to someone else. Thus, what the devil has promised has become in the experience of our fathers truly the lie from the bottomless pit. And we can read, and we have read together, what a blessedness that there is in that belonging unto the Lord Jesus Christ. How is that? Well, we read of the prayer that the Lord Jesus prays for that church. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And we read further of the care that the Lord Jesus is taking for those not who are independent of him, but for his own church. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Thus the care of the Lord Jesus for his own church, that his Father, who has everything in this world in his hands, that his Father may keep that people. The blessedness of being joined unto that blessed mediator, that is that which no man can rightly express in this world. And our fathers say something of this in the Lord's Day that we wish to consider with you in this morning hour. Lord's Day 12, only the 32nd question. Lord's Day 12, question 32. But why art thou called a Christian? Answer, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. And also that with a free and good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally and over all creatures. So far, our Lord's Day. The meaning of the name Christian, first, being a member of Christ, and second, being a partaker of his anointing. The meaning of the name Christian, first, being a member of Christ, and second, being partaker of his anointing. But why art thou called a Christian? Where, congregation, does that name come from? That comes from the scriptures in the Acts. Then we read that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And why were they called Christians? That is actually not the same answer that we read of here by our fathers. But that name was given unto the Christians actually by their enemies. That was given unto them by the Romans. And that had a very simple meaning. The Christian, that just simply meant that these were followers of Christ. But for them, of course, that was a name which was despised. So that was a name with scorn and ridicule that they have attached unto these people who were followers of the Lord Jesus. But that name, on the other hand, was readily taken over by these followers of the Lord Jesus. Because, no, they were not ashamed of this name that was for them an honor. Though it was even in a time of persecution. Taken over by that church, that name Christian actually came to mean even much more to them. That name became very, very precious to them. And why? Boys and girls, you have also a name. And your last name that identifies you with someone. That is, with your father, with your mother. That we know that there is a certain connection between you and them. We know to whom you belong. Well, thus it is also with that name Christian. That is, there is an identification of a Christian with the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, there are many that are identifying themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that are taking that name Christian upon themselves, of whom the Lord Jesus knows nothing. We read it in the Bible, that they shall one day come before him, and they shall say to him, that we have done many miracles and mighty works in thy name. But he shall say to them that I do not know you. Thus, then it is without effect when we will take upon us that name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is also another people. They do not dare to take that name upon themselves, but they are given that name by the Lord Jesus himself. What do we read? All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. What does that mean? The Lord Jesus owns his people. He takes his people for and unto himself. Who actually does he take unto himself? Who actually, as we read here, because I am a member of Christ by faith, who actually become members of Christ? That is, every one of his elect. That is, the Father who is choosing those members. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, they were thine, and thou hast given them unto me. Thus it is not of him that willeth, and not of him that runneth, but it is of God who showeth mercy. When does that take place? That choosing that is in eternity. And that choice that is from the side of the Lord actually already finished. But to become a member, actually become a member, that is taking place in the time. Thus, to actually become a member of Christ, that is taking place in regeneration. Thus, the elect, they are not born as a member of Christ. No, they must become such a member. We read in the Bible that they are born in sin, that they are conceived in iniquity. Thus, election is unknown. What does that mean? That means to be unconverted, that is not the same thing as being reprobate. In general, we know John the Baptist, that he was filled with the Spirit from the womb. But in general, that whole church of God is born into this world, though elect, yet unconverted. And thus in their birth, not a member of Christ. And therefore, congregation, election is no reason for anyone to despair. Why not? No, it is exactly the opposite. It is the only cause of our hope and our expectation. Because though we may be yet unconverted, then still the Lord has His elect. Then it is still possible, and then especially when the Lord has already brought us under the truth of His own word, under which He will bring every one of His elect in this world. And then in a special way, then we may hope that we also may lie in that election. And therefore, the Lord gives us reason to seek with all our heart, with all our might, and with all our strength. How do we become such a member of Christ? Well, we read here, by faith, because I am a member of Christ by faith. In regeneration, then that faith is planted in its essence, in its being. When that faith is planted in that moment, then we become a member. Then we become engrafted in the essence into the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that mean that in that moment, then we are able to say that I am such a member of Christ? Far from it. No, it becomes just the opposite, that in that moment that a man is given to realize and to feel, is given an impression in his soul that he is without God in the world. And yet, such a person has faith. Yes, actually, the being of faith, the existence of faith, and not only so, but the exercise of faith. Only we have to distinguish what is now the object of their faith. Because there are plenty then that in this world, in the way of a so-called Christianity that will begin immediately to speak about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not so. What then becomes the object of faith? What is it that a man, when that faith, that true faith is planted, what is then that a man begins to believe? Well, he begins simply to believe the way it is. That is what we don't believe by nature. And how is it? We begin to believe what we never believed before. That is that the relationship between God and my soul is broken. We thought it was good. We could still sleep at night. We were not afraid when we went about our daily work. But in the regeneration, faith is planted. And then we can begin to read in the Word of God that it is not good with my soul. No, but that I have fallen away from God. That is the reality. It is simply the truth that a man begins to believe. And thus the Lord is opening the eyes of His church. Congregation, you say, I believe that I have to die. I believe that I have to stand before God, to meet God in the judgment. I hope so. But then we read in God's Word of a historical faith. We read of a miraculous faith. We read of a temporary faith and of a true saving faith. Thus, in what way do you believe this? You say that you cannot die. Congregation, what effect does this have on you? When you say you cannot die, can you still go on to live as you have always lived? You say that you realize that you are without God in this world. Is that so? But is that then your burden? Is that then your grief? Is that then your sorrow? Can you live that way? Thus, what are we saying? A knowledge that is without effect in our life. That is not a saving knowledge. What did the prodigal son do when he began to be in want? Then there was something that happened in his life. Then there was an effect. Then he rose up. Then he could not be on outside of the communion with his father anymore. Or do we truly believe? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, it is one thing to be a member, and it is another thing to know that I am a member. To be able to say this with our instructors, that I am a member of Christ by faith. And it is impossible that we have such a knowledge outside of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Knowledge of that membership in Christ that actually belongs to the further steps of grace in the life of God's people. Then they receive the comfort of it and not only the safety of it. We know that Ruth had many tokens from Boaz before she ever could say that she was married unto Boaz. Boaz had many dealings with Ruth. And then he has comforted her. He has spoken to her. He has given her her corn. He has invited her to his table. He has reached her parched corn. He has not sent her empty home to her mother-in-law. But with all of these things, then Ruth still had to say for herself that I am not as one of thine handmaidens. She could not say that she was married yet unto Boaz. No, something had to take place still in her life. Where had the Lord begun? That was in Moab. From the Lord's side, it was well. But that does not mean that it was well in the experience yet of that Ruth. Because I am a member of Christ by faith. That is, a member, not just a friend, not just an acquaintance, but a member. And when the Bible speaks about being a member, then it is speaking about having members of the body, that is, boys and girls, that you have a hand and you have an arm and you have eyes and a nose. They are all members of your body. What does that mean? That they are part of you. Thus, there is a very close union between you, yourself, and all of your own members. Thus, when he speaks about being a member of Christ, then he speaks about being united unto Christ, to be one with him. What is the closest union that there is in this world between people? That is the marriage union. We read in the Bible that two become one. And now what does the Lord Jesus say concerning his church? The Lord Jesus says of his church, I am married unto you. But now what does Amos say? Can two walk together except they be agreed? They cannot. Thus, for that union now to take place between Christ and his church, there must be an essential agreement. And what is that essential agreement? That is that same essential agreement that there is between a sick man and a physician. Then there is a blessed suitability, then there is a blessed fitness between these two, that they do not want, that they cannot be separated from each other. Then there is an essential agreement between one who has to come before his judge and a surety. Oh, then they are united together. There is a fitness, there is a meekness between these two. That is the fitness, that is the union that is between Christ and his church, which makes them one. What is that union? It is that same fitness that there is between a man who is separated from God and who is dwelling in the anger, in the wrath of God, between such a man and a mediator. One that will stand between, one that can bring him back again. Oh, then they are fit to be together. And thus, that membership that is because of a blessed fitness between Christ and his church. And so they enter a union, a bond that can never be separated. These become members of Christ by faith in a perfect agreement. What do we read? The Lord Jesus says to the poor, the gospel is preached. And then what about the rich? No, the rich, they are sent empty away. There is no union. There is no essential agreement. How is that then? Can all say with these instructors, I am a member of Christ by faith? No, many cannot come there. Can we see, find that in the Word of God? Yes. Because we read the Lord Jesus, he cured that man that was born blind. And yet the Lord Jesus, he asked that man, dost thou believe in the Son of God? What did the man say? I am a member? No. He said, who is he, Lord? That I may believe in him. A man who was cured by the Lord Jesus. And in a spiritual way, a picture of that true church of God. Everything needs to be revealed unto that church of God. And if it is not revealed to them, then they do not know it. And yet, they remain his members. And therefore, they remain also partakers, we read, of his anointing. That is our second thought. Why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith. And thus am partaker of his anointing, that so I may confess his name. To how many offices was the Lord Jesus anointed? We heard something of that last week. Then there are three offices. He was anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. And it is of every one of these offices that now also that true church becomes a partaker of that anointing. And so our fathers, they speak first about that first office, that so I may confess his name. Thus, part of that prophetical office of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the days of the persecutions, then men did not join themselves so easily to the church of God. They did not make a confession so easily because that was a very dangerous thing to join that outward church. And then the church that was not so full of empty professors of religion. But after that persecution ceased, well, then many have joined into the church. And then also today, many confess, as we read here, his name. And yet it is not in the same way as these instructors are speaking. The Lord Jesus, when he was on the earth, then many also, the multitude, they cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, confessing his name. But very soon they did not confess his name anymore. No, when the Lord Jesus showed how he would humble himself, how that he came into the judgment of that heathen monarch, when he was spit upon, when he was mocked, no, they had no desire to confess the name of such a king. That is, that empty profession. There was another. Amidst all the mockery, that the Lord opened his eyes when he was upon that cross, that he may see and that he may confess in the midst of the mockery to say, this man hath done nothing amiss. And what does the Lord Jesus say? Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. No, that does not mean that the confession of the church of God that will be without its temptations. Because Peter, he made a beautiful confession. And that was a confession which came out of the bottom of his heart. A confession that was planted by the Lord himself. That thou art the Christ, that thou art the Son of the living God. But in the temptation, then we can read that he says, I do not know the man. And thus it can be. But it became the greatest grief for Peter, over which he had to weep bitterly. And there are people who know of this. The Bible congregation shows us the difference between a false and a true confession of the name of Christ. The rich young ruler also confessed that name. What did he say? He called the Lord Jesus good master. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? He said, why dost thou call me good? Because you don't really believe that I am good. The Lord Jesus says, there is none good but God. But you don't believe in my divinity. You do not believe that I am God. Thus, that comes only out of your mouth. The devil, he also did confess the name of the Lord Jesus. I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And what did the Lord Jesus do? He cast him out. The Lord Jesus would have absolutely nothing to do with such an empty confession. The hypocrite is often loud and bold in his profession, but he often makes God's true church to tremble. And on the other side, then we see congregation, that woman with that issue of blood. And what did she say? Nothing. She only touched. And that was her confession. It was a confession of what? It was a confession of her need. And a confession of what she believed concerning the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. If she may but touch the hem of his garment, then she shall be whole. Or was that to make a profession in front of people? Or if there could be none that would see her, then she would be the most glad that she could come only in the press behind and then disappear again. Or only to feel the power of that cleansing in her. Oh, that was a confession that had so much meaning. Oh, how is our own confession? A modern Christianity congregation that is speaking, young people, listen, it speaks about high things. There are so many people who confess the name of Christ. And they speak about God as being their Father. They speak about the adoption of children, high things. And they speak about being reconciled unto God. But they do not say so much that can make a thoughtful person jealous. Truth is not learned in the heights, but truth is learned in the depths. That is the true confession when a man may confess his need for Christ. And that is a confession that the modern day Christianity despises, but it is not a confession that is despised by Christ himself. No, there were none that cried out to him in their need and so confessed his name that were turned away from him. Bartimaeus, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on him. There was no leper. O Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That so I may confess his name. If we never knew our need for him, we have never confessed his name in truth and in a way that is pleasing to him. Why not? Because he says himself, congregation, I did not come to be ministered unto, but I came to minister. And therefore, blessed is that people who may come to a confession of their need for him, that I may so confess his name and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. What office is that? That is the priestly office. That is to sacrifice. Why is that? Is that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus then insufficient? Is it not enough that something needs to be added to his sacrifice? Something from that people? No. No, we read here that is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Then there is a living desire to give myself unto him, a people that may feel something of an experience, something of him who gave himself for them. The Gibeonites were content to be hewers of wood and drawers of water. Why? Because they said, thou hast saved our life. Then we will be thy servants. We will serve you. And they were happy then to serve them. Oh, what does that mean? That means that when it is right, there is a people who no longer live unto themselves. That's how it was in paradise. Much more so in redemption, when they may experience from what they have been delivered. And yet, it is not in perfection, but stained with sin, stained with shortcomings, and present myself a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him. When we sacrifice, then we give up something. Congregation, what is it with that church then? Or how is it in the nominal Christendom? How is it in our own heart? Or we live in a world where men profess the name of Christ, but they are not ready to give up anything. Where men wants to hold on to his dear carnal pleasures in this world. Where men wants to hold on to all the enjoyments and all the entertainments and all the vanity that is in this world.
when man is not able to deny himself all these things, to sell all that he has and to follow the Lord Jesus. He wants both. But the Lord Jesus says it is impossible because you cannot serve God and mammon. And what is now lying in the heart of that true Christian, although he is so plagued by that old man, though he is so plagued by that carnal flesh that is still lying within him, that is cleaving to the world, because there is nothing good in that old man. And yet in that new man, a desire to forsake all things, all in that love. For Christ by faith may be in exercise. Or when that may be lively, then the church is ready to forsake father and mother, son and daughter, all for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it is a life of self-denial. Then it is a life of giving themselves over unto that blessed will of God. Thy will be done. No, it is not so always in the practice. But it lies in the essence. It lies in its being, in the heart of that true child of the Lord. But let us sing Psalter 311. 311, 1, 4, and 5. What shall I render to the Lord? For all his benefits to me, how shall my soul, by grace restored, give worthy thanks, O Lord, to Thee. 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 311.
Thank you.
And also that with a free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. What is, congregation, the work of a king? The work of a king is to reign, that is, for the welfare of the people. But often that reigning, that also includes a warfare, that the people may be defended, that is, that he has to fight against all of the enemies. And now we hear in the instruction of our fathers about that work of reigning, that they say, and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. Thus, that kingly work of reigning that is reserved for after this life. And they shall reign, we read, forever and ever. But that kingly work of warfare, that is reserved for this life. That is the warfare that I may fight against sin and Satan. And that is a warfare that makes itself evident in the walk of our life, in our desire to keep the commandments of the Lord. What does the Lord Jesus say? If ye love me, keep my commandments. How easily, congregation, can we walk in the ways of sin and bear that name of Christ? Christian, can the world see a difference between them and us, who bear that name of Christ? In our profession, that was not a good thing. When Lot would look over all the plain and desire the things of this world and be willing to go towards that wicked city in order to gain the things of this world. No, when it is right in the heart of the true people of the Lord, then they don't want to grieve the Lord with their life. Oh, you don't have to, young people. You don't have to argue with them about all of the outward things in this world. No, you don't have to say anything anymore. Because when the Lord is working, then there is a desire to walk in all his ways and to walk against the commandments of the Lord. That is the grief of their heart. And the outward things, they are the simple things. Do you know what is the most difficult? They are the inward things. Because it is not so hard to walk outwardly, but now to control my thoughts and to control my heart. That is something that they are not able to do. And that is why Paul, then he is saying, oh, wretched man that I am, the good that I would not, that the good that I would I do not. That was not in outward things, no. That was in his heart. And the evil that I would not, oh, that is living within my heart. Do you hear it? It is the kingly work. They are partakers of the anointing of Christ. It is a warfare here below. And now, young people, be honest. When we hear so many things around us. And we hope that you are given in your youth already an ear to discern. Then you will hear many that concern themselves about confessing the name of Christ, that want to have nothing to do with the law of God. Do you know what they speak about? They speak about Christian liberty. Everything is lawful to them. Then we can do whatever that the world does. We can live right along. Nothing is sin anymore. There is no warfare. No, they are at peace with themselves. They are at peace with one another. And actually, they are at peace with everything. And this they call Christianity. But where there is no warfare, there is no church militant. And where there is no church militant, there will be no church triumphant. And also that with a free and good conscience, I may fight against sin and Satan in this life and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. A free and good conscience. What did the Lord Jesus say? He says, if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. So what is that? A free and good conscience. A speaking conscience, congregation, is a great blessing. Don't step on it, children. Listen to it. Otherwise, it does not speak anymore. A speaking conscience, that is a great blessing. But a speaking conscience is also a great burden. It is because of a speaking conscience that men are turning themselves in who have committed crimes in this world. Oh, who of us does not know of the burden of a speaking conscience? Now what do our fathers say? They speak about a free and a good conscience. Would that not be something, young people? Would that not be something? If you may go over this world with a free and a good conscience, you say, how is that possible? Solomon says that there is not a just man in this earth that does not sin. Oh, we don't speak here about a person who has not sinned. No, we don't speak here about a person who is not guilty. Well, it's possible that we are not guilty in a certain matter. But in general, every one of us is carrying a burden, is carrying guilt upon our conscience. And yet our fathers, they say it is possible that a man has a free and good conscience in this life. How is that possible? That is possible, congregation, through the forgiveness of sin. When the Lord is forgiving the sin of His church, the conscience of the church is clear. It is free from all sin. It is as if the people had never sinned in their life. Oh, the righteousness of Christ that is so powerful that we read in the Bible, there is no more conscience of sins. That does not mean that that sin cannot return in the conscience. No, because David says, my sin is covered. Then it can be covered for some time. But in the exercise of that faith, then there is a good and a free conscience. And that is simply a people that may experience in their life that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And yet, with that free and good conscience, then there is still a fighting against sin and Satan in this life. That does not turn that people into an antinomian, no. But it will remain a militant church even to the last breath in this world. Congregation, a free and good conscience, who can overestimate such a blessing? With a free and good conscience, I can live. With a free and good conscience, I can die. That is a privilege. That is a blessing that belongs to whom? To those who are members of Christ by faith. And every other deathbed that Asaph speaks about that is without bends is nothing but an awful and a fatal delusion. Congregation, are you also called Christian? Why? Why are you called Christian? Is it merely because we are baptized? Is it merely because we are a member of the church? Is it merely because we have espoused Christianity? Then we are poor. Then we have a name to live, and we are dead. Then we are called Christians by other people in this world. But we miss the blessings. We miss the comforts. We miss all the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that name Christian, that will avail us nothing more. It will testify against us. O congregation, seek that there may be made room and place, that there may be a need for the Lord Jesus Christ Himself within our life. Oh, be honest with your own self before the Lord. The law, we read, is the schoolmaster unto Christ. May the Lord give then that we may become as the lepers and as the blind, as the deaf and as the dumb. That we may be made fit objects of the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we may be made fit objects for that physician, that great physician. And so that physician, he will become so suitable in our eyes. And then that name of Christian, then we will not bear in vain. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, give to us a need for Thee. Bind thy word upon our hearts. Oh, give life in our poor souls. Forgive all that is sinful. And give that name which we confess, which is upon our foreheads in our baptism, that it may never testify against us. Remember us in the remainder of this day. Be with us. When we depart from here, bring us safely home and back again in this afternoon hour. Help us again in the preaching of thy word. And also remember those who hope to make that confession in this afternoon hour. Wilt thou give them yet a place at thy footstool for Jesus' sake? Amen. Psalter number 250, stanzas 1 and 4. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to thee, most high accord. To show thy love with morning light and tell thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is thy praise to sing and all our sweetest music bring. 1 and 4 of Psalter 250. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.